We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
This morning, we're going to three different places. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. If you're looking around Facebook and different places, it is the time of season, time of year. I don't know why it's just summer. A lot of people go at different times, but people start going on mission trips during the summer. I've had lots of my friends and different ones all over Facebook and different churches. They are taking trips all over the place. We've got churches around Tuscaloosa that are taking trips. We are leaving next Sunday, Mission Lab. Y'all be praying over our students. We'll be going down to New Orleans for a week to work there in Mission Lab and different things. But when you think about missions isn't just a summer activity, but we have sort of conditioned ourselves in our mind to where it's summer missions. And we think about just during that, end of May on into the 1st of August, that is your missions wing. But the truth of it is, we're on mission every single day of our lives. We are. And I know you don't think about it like that because we're not conditioned to think about it like that. We're conditioned to think, hey, we're going on a mission trip, or hey, our students are going on a mission trip, or a group of people have gone on mission. And we look at it as a compartmentalized. It's like, here is a mission trip, and everything else is just a building and life and world around it, when Scripture is very, very, very clear that you and I are on actually mission every single day of our lives. Acts chapter 1 says this, beginning in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Guys, that's talking to us as believers. When you and I trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God indwells us. We receive by faith the Spirit of God. He comes and He takes over our lives, not so that we can have a better life. No, Scripture clearly says so that we can be His witness, both here and a little further out, and a little further out, and a little further out. It says it. Look at it. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. We're to be His witness wherever we are, and it starts right here. The danger, one of the most dangerous things is to fall into, especially when we're masters of it inside of churches, creating a culture of missions and mission trips and mission activities and organizations. And we just put a mission in front of it, and you join this group, and guess what? If you don't join the group, then you're not part of the mission. But that's not what Scripture teaches. We're to be His witness. If you have His Spirit living inside of you, you're a witness of His. You're to witness the truth. You're to witness Him. You're to walk in as a representative of His everywhere you go. Starts in Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is right here. Northport, Northside, Sipsey Way, Moundville Way, Cottondale Way, Birmingham Way, everywhere in the middle between. You wake up. If you wake up, you wake up for one purpose. You don't hear that a lot. You wake up to live. You wake up to be an American. You wake up to go and do a task and make a widget and to go and do things. No, if we wake up, we're to be a witness. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be His witnesses, both in Jerusalem, right here where you are, and in Judea, a little further out. Judea, let's say Alabama. Judea, Samaria, let's say the United States, and the uttermost parts, wherever God sends us, you and I are His hands and His feet, and we don't have to do it by ourselves. See the danger? Church. Organized church in the West. We don't think about it like that, do we? We don't think about every day we wake up, we're on mission. We don't think about every day we wake up, we're his witness. We don't think about it like that. No, we think it's Sunday. We got to go grab our Bible. We got to go to church. We got to know the church is the body of believers. The church is the organized collective body of born again, blood-bought saints. They are members of the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God, not this building. This building is where Chapel Hill Baptist Church, the organization, the group of people that belong to this local church come. But you're part of the church by being indwelt with His Spirit to be a witness to Him right there where you are. Over to Matthew chapter 28. These are all very familiar passages. Everything we're looking at is very familiar. You know this. You know that Acts 1:8 verse. You know the Great Commission verse. Brother Shannon, how do we do this? Why do we do this? Why? What are you talking about? Who says we ought to do this? Where do we get the authority to do this? It comes from Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. He says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" All authority. There's nothing else he needs. He doesn't need permission. All authority has been given to him, period. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He has drank the full cup of wrath of the sovereign God of this universe, and he literally was crushed there on the cross, and his body died. And he was buried in a grave, and 3 days later, he rose again. And he now stands victorious over all of it. Our sin debt is paid. Sin penalty is paid in full. All authority is his. And on that claim, Scripture says, as we are going, verse 18, as we are going, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We do this not on our own strength. We do it with His presence. We do it with the actual Spirit of God indwelling us as we are going throughout our day, being a witness of His, being a light, being a living, breathing example of Christ. Are we perfect, God? Lord, no, we're not perfect. But if we're not careful, it don't even cross our minds. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about are we good or not. I'm not talking about do we have a passport or not, or do we have a planned trip coming or not. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about, does this even cross our mind? See how conditioned we are? Well, I'm not part of that mission organization, and I'm not going on that mission trip, and I don't know. And if we're not careful, then it's not what we do. But Jesus says, as you're going, do it. All authority has been given to Him, and He's commissioned us to just go and be His hands and feet, and go be His representatives, to go and make disciples. Question, how many people are under your arm? How many people are you walking with? Whether it's formal or informal. You know, we got to be careful that, well, I'm not in a formal discipling relationship with someone, and we're walking through a 5-week or 6-week or 8-week study of something, and we're reading a book together and reading the Bible. We're not doing all that. No, it's just life on life. It's keeping Christ the center of all that we do. It's not just wake up and go to work. It's not just wake up and live life. It's not just get to the weekend. It's not just hump days halfway over, can't wait to the weekend. It's not just, hey, I can't wait till I retire or wait till I'm here. You know, so many in our churches, here's what happens. We see these kids and we sit out there and we're like, oh, how sweet, how precious, that's so sweet. Their future is great. No, the future is now. We're waiting on these cats to come up and step up. Oh, they're going to take over and they're going to take the baton. What are we handing them? Attaboy, Rob. We pay you to teach them in the back. We pay Matthew to teach them in the back. It's a danger. It's a danger. It's a slippery, slippery pit that we can find ourselves falling into. Oh, they're so precious. You're doing a great job teaching them. Brother Shannon, you're bringing the word. We're proud. But guys, listen. You're a missionary, and 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 you're a missionary. And I wish I could take the time, and I'm at 9:08, and I respect time. I respect you Sunday school teachers, and I know by 9:30, 9:34, I got y'all out of here. But I wish I could go around to every single one of you and say, you're a missionary, and you're a missionary, because that's what the Spirit of God is doing. And saying, you, go be a witness of Him, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part, right here. See, every single one of you. Listen, it doesn't matter if you have a passport or in a trip planned and a flight booked. It doesn't matter if you have a group. No, Jesus trumps that. And what we in our laziness have done is, well, nobody's doing it, so let's get a group of people. Let's get a committee to form a group of people, and let's call it the Missions Committee. And these are all the people that are excited about missions, and that's not what the Spirit of God says. It says right here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the one who has all authority has said, hey, while you're going, make disciples. While you're going, do this. He didn't say, hey, go get an organization, go get a group of people that's excited, go get whether you call it whatever, whether it's the WMU, the men's MU, whatever you want to call it. But that's what we do, women's missionary. See, we started way back then because the men weren't doing nothing. Women's like, we got to step up. Guys, this ain't doing nothing. This ain't changed. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 25. This is real, y'all. Missions is not just getting on a plane and buying a passport and going far off. Missions is every single day of your life. And Jesus doesn't leave it. Jesus does not leave it vague. He makes it as clear, crystal clear, of His expectation of what it looks like. Because here's the deal. At this point, at a 9:10 mark on a message like this, you're thinking, well, what am I supposed to be doing? I got to get to doing something. I need to maybe talk with Brother Shannon or maybe reach out to one of the women's groups or maybe reach out to one of the guy groups and I need to do something. I need to go get plugged into one of those groups. That's not biblical. What's biblical is you, as a blood-bought saint, will receive the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power. There's your power. And your commission was given by the one who has all authority. So as you're going, make disciples. And He's with you forever. And he's given us His word. I say it often, we don't have to wonder what He wants from us. We don't have to wait on a guy on a stage to stand before you and say, and a light bulb to go off and be like, whoa, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I heard from God this morning. You don't have to wait on God to speak this morning. His word is really, really, really clear already. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, says this. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Listen to this. Then the King will say to those on His right. Notice, it doesn't say then the King might say. Notice it says the King will say. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will say, look at what the king will answer. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it for me. So the application of this verse in 2024 has absolutely nothing to do with a mission trip. The explanation I just read, go back to verse 35. Jesus says, for I was hungry, hey, and you gave me something to eat. You know, when you fed that person, that was me that you were feeding. Hey, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Hey, you know that person you gave something to drink to? That was me. You did that for me. It says, I was a stranger and you invited me in. You remember that time you opened it up and you blessed and you served? You did that for me. That was me you were doing that for. You remember when you did that, when you fed that person and when you gave that person something to drink and you opened it up and said, hey, whatever you need, come and get what you need. You were doing that for me. Remember that person that was naked and you clothed them? Remember that person? That was me you clothed. Remember that person that was sick and you visited? That was me. It was me that was sick and you visited me. See, the application is that when we do, we're not doing for others, we're doing for Him. When you give, when you serve, when you love, when you visit, when you go, when you do, that's what He says, naked and you clothed me. Hey, that was me that you clothed. That was me that was hungry. Right here in Northport, Alabama, in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, this state, in your Samaria, this country, in your uttermost part. Here's the deal, Christian, you who are a witness to Him, who have been powered by Him, when you're doing it, you're doing it for Him. That's what He's saying. When you fed that person, and that thirsty person, that was Him. That was Him you were feeding. But notice contrast. Contrast. Look at verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which He's prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice this. I was hungry and you gave me nothing. This is the heart check in the room. Because it actually asked the question, and it's how you check each one of us as missionaries and witnesses and disciples of and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do with the hungry? What do we do with the sick? What do we do with the broken? What do we do with the hurting? What do we do with them? Well, I go ahead and tell you the American way is that we turn to other and we look quickly. We look quickly away. And we think in ourselves they need to get a job and they need something they did wrong to get them in that place. Their decision was wrong. They messed up. But in contrast, remember what Jesus had just said? Every time we did it for Him. So that means every time we don't do it, we're not doing for Him. That's what He says here. He says, I was hungry, verse 42. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. And naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not come to me. And notice the arrogance of verse 44. Americans, be careful. Because this is what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus. We're looking for him to say, holding that brown sign up for it to say, hey, I'm Jesus. And it's me asking for water here. It's me asking for something to eat. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus needing some gas here. Hey, this is Jesus. I am literally Jesus in the flesh, and I need some just a little bump this month for the electricity. This is Jesus here. Because here's our thing. Listen, if I'd have known it was you, I'd have came. Listen, if I'd known it was you that was hurting, I'd have been there. If I'd have known it was you, listen, church, he's done telling us already. That's him. It is him. Take up your cross daily and follow him. We who have much, much is required. What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Americans ask this question, and I know that's a blanket statement, but it's an in general statement, but you know what I'm saying. Guys, that's what I mean. It's a slippery, slippery pit to fall into, and once we get into it, we can sit there and rationalize ourselves in the bottom of it for the rest of our lives. We can rationalize through the 20s, I don't have any money, and through the 30s, I'm trying to build a family, and through the 40s, and listen, I'm just trying to make it, and through the 50s, and you know, well, I gotta take care of my kids now, and through the 60s, and look, times are hard, and during the 70s, look, I ain't got much, and during the 80s, it's like, whoa, I'm just making it one day at a time, you know? Jesus, where were you? Oh, if I'd have known it was you, I'd have sure came running. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and didn't take care of you? Look, if it had been you, if we'd have known it was you, we'd have come. We didn't know that was you. If we'd have known it was you, we'd have come running. If we'd have known it was you, we'd have dropped everything. Notice what it says. When did we see you hungry or thirsty? Nowhere. The difference, the contrast is, look, when they were thirsty, you gave them something to drink, and that was me you were feeding. When you were down, that was me that you blessed. That was me that you poured into. That was me you ministered to. Here they're saying, listen, if I'd have known that was you, I'd have come. But I didn't see you thirsty or hungry or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison. And if I'd have seen it, if I'd have known it was you, listen, church, it's always him. It's always him. What our response has nothing to do with what got them there. Bible says we entertain angels unaware. We don't have a clue that the next person sees that dude standing at the corner with the cardboard sign or not. That person may be standing there just for you. And that next car don't even see him. Oh, that stuff ain't real. Okay, well, whatever. Heaven ain't either, is it? Oh, heaven's real. I want heaven. I only do nothing he tells me to do yet. This ain't a game. It ain't a game. That's the test. It's a heart test. It's a heart condition. It's a heart question. It's a heart thing. It's what we're judged by. He's going to put us on one side and he's going to put us on the other, and we're going to. Well, I didn't see nothing. If I'd have known it was you, I'd have come. If I'd have known that was you, I'd have come. Jesus says, it's always me. It's always me. We're at different levels in this room. We're at different places. Jesus watched a woman literally put two little pieces of coins into the coffers. Just two little nothings. And he looks at the guys around him and says, she gave everything. God don't care what you give. He sees the heart. He sees the heart. He sees the heart that quickly turns away in judgment. He sees the heart that, I mean, I could stand and ramble on forever. But as a Christian, you've received the Holy Spirit of God. You've been empowered to be His witness. You've been empowered and blessed. We're in the greatest nation on the planet with the greatest educations, the greatest resources, the greatest freedoms, the greatest opportunities, the greatest, 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 and we just get sick of ourselves by saying all of that. And it all that does is it pigeonholes us into a corner even deeper without an excuse. Because we who have much, much is required. I don't know where you go. I don't know who you see. I don't know your circle, your sphere. I don't know your daily activity. And it has nothing to do with any of that. It all has to do with the heart. And the mind and the sensitivity and the leading and nudging and listening to the Holy Spirit of God. This is either real or it's not. Last week I preached, you know, we love church. We love it when the preacher stands up here, preaches strong evangelism, and looks out to the room and says, look, what if this is wrong? Or what if this is right? We love to hear the gospel messages. We love to hear the, hey, y'all, you need to trust Jesus so that we can sit back and say to ourselves, thank you, I got you, Jesus, and you're my Lord. The same thing has to do. Is this going to happen or not? Is this going to happen or not? Here's the deal. Is this going to happen or not? Is this going to happen or not? Is it going to happen or not? Did it happen or not? Did it happen or not? And there we sit, not under the conviction of a man's words, but under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not saying go get on a plane. I'm not saying go get a passport. I'm not saying go join a trip or join a missions organization. I'm saying be who He saved you to be right here in Northport, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I'm saying be exactly who He saved you to be on your path to work every day, and when you get to work every day, and when you get to school every day, and when you go to lunch every day, and when you go to wherever every weekend, and when you're on vacation and you're living life, I'm just saying you be who He saved you to be right there, because you are a witness of His right there. Father God, You are so good because You're so patient. God, You're so good because You're so patient and we're so undeserving. We look at our lives. We look at the lavishness of them. We look at our health and our resources and our abilities. We look at all of that. God, help us not to just be building straw towers that in the end mean nothing. God, it's you that's out there, and it's you that's all around us. It's you, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Help us to be listening to your spirit. God, please, please, Lord Jesus, please. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.